Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the iSports MSU Red Theater Report. The Red Theater Report is, of course, a part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the show on Facebook or follow us on Twitter to listen to our past shows. I don't necessarily know, frankly, why you'd want to do that, because we're going to talk about the same stuff this week, today, that we pretty much talked about, say, the last seven shows that we've done. Today on the show, we do have iSportsWeb contributor Jameson Draper. He's going to join us. And we thought that this would be cool, me and him, because
it's really the same thing.
We disagree on a lot. And so we thought this would be cool to kind of do like a point-counterpoint type situation. But, I mean, I don't think there's going to be too much debate today.
Yeah,
I think we can agree that
this
past Saturday put
the
program as low as they've been in a while. Yeah, it's just the same stuff. It's a different day for this team. The lack of tackles, the lack of fundamentals, and you saw that with LJ Scott again. Before we dive too much into that, though, Jameson, dude, I want to get your initial reaction on Saturday's game.
I seem to have this newfound, not even confidence in the team, but, you know, after we put up that showing, after the team put up that showing against Michigan, I really thought, even though it's a rivalry game, like maybe this team actually to play for, maybe has this hope of winning out because of Spartan culture. You know, Spartan culture has become about winning. But lately, it seems like that's not the case this year. And, the team just looked like they just weren't prepared against Illinois. They looked lost. This is like no D'Antonio team I've ever seen before. I know they're young, but as we've been talking about, even in this game, they only played four true freshmen. And they played a lot of their seniors. They played Medeiros, especially on defense. They played a lot of their seniors. And it just didn't go well at all. And somehow – I still find myself surprised we're losing these games. So that's where I'm at with this Michigan State team overall.
Yeah, this team is – well, I want to bring this to something that one of my buddies said a while ago. Jeremy Pyle, he actually was the one who started up – switched it over, and we've made it Michigan State-centric. But he said, Antonio – has an all-or-nothing team this year. And until they get that first win, like, this team is young. This is a team that not only were they young, but the experienced guys on the team just have this built-up confidence. When you watch guys like Lawrence Thomas, Shalit Calhoun, Darian Harris, Connor Cook, Aaron Burbridge just have all of this success. And then you lose that first game to Wisconsin. And that game wasn't as bad as the final score showed. The LJ Scott fumble there, fumbling on the five, dropping that snap. There's another six. And two, poorly timed interceptions by O'Connor. I knew he threw three, but there was one on Michigan State's own 25. That led to another six from Wisconsin. And it just looks like that game, when you go back at it, deflated this entire team. And since then, they lost the confidence. The question started flying about Tyler O'Connor because of one poor showing, which I think is part of that knee-jerk social media, everybody has a voice type reaction. And
yeah,
it just snowballed from there.
Yeah, I agree, and I think I have two things to say about that. One is that
hey, you agree with me. There's
a there's partial, mostly agree, partial disagree. We'll see here. So as far as the seniors go, I totally agree. This team lacks senior leadership. The captains, I believe, are Tyler O'Connor, Demetrius Cox, and I don't remember. Okay, yeah. And Riley Bull, and perfect. That's a perfect example about how the upperclassmen and the seniors are just not really leading the team this year. I mean, Tyler O'Connor, he's kind of by default had to be the captain this year because of all the Connor Cook captain talk last year about quarterback that D'Antonio probably almost felt the need to do that. And that's okay, but when you have the seniors, the 20 teams that run on senior leadership, like you said, with Calhoun and Cook from the years before, then you have a team that has no leadership. Cox has been very underwhelming this year. O'Connor has been – some people say he's underwhelming, some people say he hasn't been, but there's definitely a little bit of a lack of leadership there. And Riley Bulla has been kind of – he started off the season great, but he's been kind of a train wreck the past couple games, ever since the Maryland game where he was he had the 45 penalty yards in 11 minutes and got ejected. So mm-hmm. on that front, I totally agree. But I was one of the people that had the knee-jerk reactions, I think, on Tyler O'Connor. I kind of stick by my statement, although he did have before he got hurt. I think he was playing pretty well against Illinois, and mm-hmm. in that Wisconsin game, I think that people were a little hard on him. But my whole reasoning for not liking O'Connor this year is because we've seen O'Connor hit his ceiling. That's as good as he's going to be. And it's average. Yeah. It's okay. But at this point, this season is so far gone that I wanted to see a younger QB come in. And that's why I was really excited to watch Lewerke play. And then, of course, he got hurt, just making this season even less worthwhile. But, yeah, I mean, Tyler O'Connor definitely, before his injury last game, he wasn't really playing too poorly.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think that that's one of the things. Is he's not played poorly at the same time. He's not going to be a Connor Cook situation where, oh, I mean, a lot of the pressure has been on Dave Warner this season. I think he's starting to feel the heat a little bit. And when you look at the fact that, I mean, even last year, you know, Purdue was a close game. Rutgers was a close game. How many third and longer situations did Connor Cook just completely bail this team out on? O'Connor, I said at the beginning of the year, he was never going to be that guy. He was never going to be that guy.
No, but and of course you can't.
If
you
can
expect him to live up,
if you can get him third and six and Josiah Price on the little button hook, I mean, you're good to go.
Yeah, this team has a lot of talent. Even the young wideouts have been performing better than pretty much any other part of the offense, honestly. And O'Connor, everybody knew he wasn't going to be Cook or Cousins. Like, you can't expect that out of them, but O'Connor I hate using buzzwords, but he's not a winner. This team has been built on players that when it comes down to it, they buckle down. You know, they don't collapse under pressure. O'Connor, seemingly in every close situation we've had this year, O'Connor and the offense have just buckled, and nothing has happened. And that's a huge piece of this Antonio team that the Antonio team runs on. And again, I think that goes back to the whole senior leadership thing.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about it. Cox hasn't played well. Bulla was hurt for a while. Then he tried to overplay in the Maryland game. And since then, he's not really played well. I mean, I don't think he even played well before his injury, but he wasn't playing as poorly as he is right now. And Tyler O'Connor has been decent, but you said it. He's not taken control of the offense. And that kind of brings us to the next point, because O'Connor did get hurt against Illinois. I mean, I thought he looked fine, and you could tell he kind of wanted to be out there from what we saw on TV. I mean, we don't know exactly what was said. From all signs, it appeared he passed the concussion protocol. I think that Michigan State might have held him a little too long on the sidelines and then just rolled with Terry, given the incident that happened with Chris Fry last week and the heat that the program kind of suffered from the media with him coming back into the game after that hit by Devin Bush. And so I think that at that point they were like, let's just roll with Terry, let's see how this goes. And then Terry did what you just said, and you're right, Tyler O'Connor's been doing. When it comes down to those situations, they make those poor decisions. And Terry is one of those guys who I feel this season he's looked okay on the run, but that's it. Like, he's not throwing the ball for crap. He's one of those guys who I think on that 4th-and-3, he wanted to do it by himself. And so he stepped up to the pocket. He stepped into the pocket prematurely, and nothing was open, and he took that sack as opposed to Tyler O'Connor would have been crucified for, rolling out, throwing it up. If he got picked off, he would have been killed for that. And at least he would have given his team an opportunity, though.
Yeah. Two touchdown passes in that game, which I don't – that's a whole different monster. I don't know what happened with that. Josiah Price is usually easy money, but you have to give him a little bit of credit for that. But, yeah, a lot of the times what happens is I think the only reason also we're seeing Terry run better this year is that because when he's been in, we've needed him to pass. In years past, we will always run the play where we put Terry out and run a QB draw every single time, and the defenses know it. But this year that we haven't been throwing, I think it opened up the run game for him a little bit. But still, you're right, when it comes down to make that decision, Terry has not been the one either to make the good decisions. I think this was – honestly, this is one of Davian Terry's best games I've ever seen, and it still was not satisfactory.
No, if you look at it, he was hold on, let me bring up the numbers here. He was
50 yards
and a touchdown. But how many of those completions were a dump off to Gerald Holmes when it wasn't a design screen, it wasn't a swing pass or anything like that? It was just a check down after half a second.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And we have to give Gerald Holmes credit for absolutely being a beast in that second half.
Yeah, and... Well, I mean, you did a good job bringing this to the next point, Gerald Holmes or L.J. Scott, because this fumble was the same thing. That fumble that he had that benched him for the game, and I don't know if he was hurt, and who knows, we can probably go 8 years trying to figure out if he was before D'Antonio will ever tell anybody anything, just the way he plays the injury card. But had this problem this season, where I feel like he's running more upright. And you can tell, by the way, that ball pops in the air. It popped in the air against Wisconsin. It's low man wins in football. It's basic football. I learned that in sixth grade football. low man wins. And so when you see the helmet hit that part of the ball, and that pops straight up in the air, that means someone else got a lot lower. And L.J. Scott has, even against Iowa, That Iowa play, I keep coming back to it. I came back to it a couple times this season when we talked about how he runs. He took that hit, and then he spins off, tries to spin off the guy and fall forward. Gerald Holmes is that guy who keeps his legs moving, opens things up a little bit more. Sometimes he is the low man because he keeps his legs moving, and he ends up winning those. And I feel like the fact that L.J. Scott just isn't fundamentally sound in pass protect, he's not fundamentally sound when he runs the ball. I think that's why Gerald Holmes is playing as much as he is.
I think that is L.J. Scott right now. I think L.J. Scott has a lot of talent and better skill. But as far as fundamentals go, that's why Gerald Holmes is playing. Gerald Holmes is great in pass protection. Gerald Holmes can catch passes. L.J. Scott's not the best pass catching running back. And he's just been playing a lot harder, honestly, hitting players low. You're right. L.J. Scott has had ball control issues. I think L.J. Scott has had the same issue that a lot of, like, I don't want to say he's an established players who are good, who we know are good, are playing very underwhelming football. And I'm not sure if it's a confidence issue or what. It's just baffling to me. This just is baffling.
Yeah. I mean, they say he's like Le'Veon Bell, and he is. When you look at the patient waiting for a block or what have you. But at the same time, he's standing straight up when he waits for that block. I mean, Bell does get a little bit high at times if you watch him still, but he's always ready to go low once that hole does become open. And that's the difference, I think, between the two. And I think ultimately that...
The comparison to Le'Veon Bell... And honestly, I think the comparisons of Le'Veon Bell are a bit of a stretch because he is a tank when he runs the ball. But the thing that makes Le'Veon Bell so good at the next level is his ability to do everything. I was just thinking the other day about how hard it is to be a successful NFL running back if you can't catch passes. That's been the issue with so many good running backs in college that just don't really don't have that dimension of their game. And that's what makes Le'Veon so good in the NFL is that he's a great pass catching wide receiver or running back. I keep saying wide receiver. And L.J. Scott, at least that's a huge difference in their game. So that's also a tough comparison to live up to, man.
Yeah, it is, especially when you do break down the running aspects. Look, the running thing I think is just a simple repetition thing, and he can get that. He does need to work on the other parts of his game. But until he can actually keep moving his legs, until he does decide to be the low man every once in a while, I think you've got to ride out Gerald Holmes.
I agree. I think Gerald Holmes – I think a lot of MSU faithful are huge on L.J. Scott. I know that pretty much everybody that I surround myself with is like all L.J. Scott over Gerald Holmes, but I agree with you. I think that Gerald Holmes, I mean, he's earned it, really. You just see him he'll hit back linebacker. You think is like do that in elementary field. Don't do that. And that's just a one fundamental of the game that players, though, you can just tell he wants it more. So give him the ball. Mm-hmm. Give him the rock. If he can do that, just give him the rock. 12 rushes for 78 yards and a touchdown, I'll take that.
Right, and especially behind an offensive line like this, like I said, L.J. Scott, when he gets into the open field, I think he's even more dangerous than Madre London. We know London has that breakaway speed, but London, with this offensive line, you're going to get hit behind the line. And I think that's pretty impressive for Madre's game. And so I think it's obvious that you have to ride out Holmes, give L.J. Scott some spots. Like you said, L.J. has the better ceiling. He's just not there yet. Let's talk about some of the other lineup changes.
I think Scott is more of a potential guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely right there with you. Let's talk about some of the other lineup changes that were made.
MSU knows he's a potential guy, but MSU fans are ready for him to progress quicker than he is, I believe.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the other changes that were made over the past couple weeks. You've seen Mark D'Antonio run with a lot of the younger guys, try to fight to make that bowl game. And you said it earlier in the show, four freshmen played a lot. I mean, you saw Bocci and stuff like that on special teams or what have you. But no Kari Willis, not 100% sure if that was injury-related or what that situation was. But you saw a little Tristan Jackson out of the Wildcat. But really, Donnie Corley, Justin Lane, Tyler Higbee, Theo Lacusa. Those were your four. And Michigan State played nine freshmen this season.
You say Josh King. I think Josh played a little bit, too.
Josh King would probably be in there as well. You're right there. So, yeah, we pretty much saw five freshmen that were playing significant reps against Illinois. They were missing a couple of guys from the regular rotation that they've not played, or that they have played, rather, that are a little bit younger. I want to get your thoughts on why Mark D'Antonio maybe went with the older group, even though right now this team's playing for the future.
In D'Antonio, but don't understand.
Jameson?
Things like how Josh King played like 111 snaps up to that point in the season, and how Bashi came off the scout team, like filled in for Riley Bulla and has been playing a ton of snaps. And then he goes in this week, and even though I'm looking at the depth chart he listed for last week, and Kari Willis is on there, I mean, Josh King is on there, Raekwon Williams is on there, they're all on there, but not a ton of them saw the field a ton, and I don't really get that, especially that your goal is to get them. Really, at this point in the season, the goal should be making this team better for next year, especially on the defense, because the defensive upperclassmen who everybody thought were going to really turn out perform as well as we thought. So we play these older guys, and MSU lost. So if we guys, I really just don't understand. That's just D'Antonio's DNA, though, I think, is that this man just cannot go away from playing his upperclassmen because he believes they earned it. He sees in practice, they may work hard and they may be great in practice, and he thinks they earned it, but when it comes game time, these guys do not cut it.
See, and I mean, I think you're a little bit right there. I think that the one thing, though, I want to go back to a quote that Mark D'Antonio had, and it's just kind of eating it at this point in the season is he said a lot of these guys are born on third and think they hit a triple. Because we talked about those guys who left. Those guys, Connor Cook, Shalique Calhoun, they earned every bit of everything that they got. And then some, whether it be a higher spot or whatever, Connor Cook. But when you look at it, I think he's trying to show these younger guys, like, you still got to earn your stuff. Donnie Corley, he's disappeared a little bit over the past few weeks, but
he's still there.
He's earned it. I mean, he's got to be a little more consistent catching the ball, but he's earned it. A guy like Josh King, I really don't think has, but he saw some time.
Yeah.
I think Higbee's been the best offensive lineman that Michigan State's had this season. I think Lacusta, up until the Illinois game, I thought he played well.
I can agree with that sentiment because really the reason Dan Turner was playing him a lot of the freshmen he was playing just because they were freshmen that he thought were good are still really playing and getting playing time. And I think the freshmen that he was playing because of injury, even though they may have been ended up playing better than the upperclassmen, that is just kind of a statement he's making. Like I would say something like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example, but maybe not freshmen, but like Andrew Dowell played a lot, Like Joe Bashi played a lot. I think he was playing better football than Riley Bulla when he was playing. But as a coach in D'Antonio, you have to say, like, Riley Bulla is a captain. He earned this. You got to earn your stripes. I mean, Joe Bashi was on the scout team like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and Demetrius Cox, he's a captain. I think Kari Willis, other than Darian Hicks, who he gave up a couple plays against Illinois, but I thought Hicks has been our best defensive back this season.
I think
Kari Willis is a very close second.
Yep.
And so I think that it's the same type of thing. Hey, Cox is the captain. If you want to beat him out, I mean, I think he already has.
Yeah, it's showing
that nobody's safe.
D'Antonio, but it shows that what D'Antonio wants his program to be.
Yeah,
it's a statement.
It's showing that nobody is safe.
I think it's a statement more than performance. Right.
It's showing nobody's safe, and I think if you really want to show nobody's safe, have Jim Bowman call against Rutgers. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be something there that they have to change because it's not working right now.
Yeah, whenever Michael Geiger's your best player, which he was on Saturday, you've got some issues.
Yeah,
I worded it a little bit differently when I talked to you this morning, but you've got issues.
Yes, you have major issues. His numbers actually, when you look at them, like for some reason, aren't as good as I swear everybody's seen. Like they're not bad, but they're just kind of But I think he's been really good this year, especially given that kicking's a lot about confidence. I mean, I think the Ohio State game last year was a huge boost for his confidence, but he's been good this year. I mean, I was writing and finding positives in a negative season like 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago before I knew how negative this season really was about. How good Geiger was this year and how I'm very impressed with him. So it's good to have a good kicker, but pretty much nothing else, but that's okay.
It's just one of those situations where I think Warner actually had a solid game plan drawn up. In the red zone, though, he choked. He choked it away again. And, I mean, because you've gotten the red zone, what, 3-4 times? And nothing from your offense out of it, and I think that's one of the big things. We got about 5 minutes left in the show. I want to get your thoughts on this. Malik McDowell before the season said that he's not going to leave unless he's a top 3 NFL draft pick. He's overplayed everything. I talked to Kyle Rasmussen the week of the Michigan game, former defensive tackle at Michigan State 2003. He said that Malik McDowell may be trying to do too much given the lack of effort from the defense elsewhere. I thought he's just overplaying. He's kind of playing for himself, and I think that you started to see that pretty much with everybody on the team is they're playing for themselves. So, like I said, you go back to that Damian Terry attempted run on 4th-and-3. I think he was doing it for himself. I don't think that was a look-for-the-best-option moment. let's talk about next year, because the season is almost a wash. We will do a Rutgers preview on Friday. I think Grant Esemacher may happen with me then. Does Malik McDowell come back? Because he's been getting beat up as well.
Yeah, I was just talking about this the other day. Every single game, I think, since the Indiana game, I believe, I'm not positive, he's been down with an injury at least once during the game. Every time he's come back. But I think that, not the overplaying the plays and playing for himself, I don't think the scouts are going to be too worried about that for him in the NFL. I think the scouts, they see it in him. I mean, you just see Malik McDowell out there, and even when he's not making plays, he's just a monster. This year has been an incredibly disappointing season for him, and he's still a monster. So I don't think that's what's going to turn away the scouts. It's going to turn what's going to turn them away is the fact that every game he goes down. I mean, in Big Ten competition, if you get beat up every single week, how are you going to handle it when it's NFL caliber offensive lineman playing against you every week? You know, so.
Yeah.
That's what I think McDowell's worry is, but I also think that's why he's going to leave after this season, because even though we have a bad record and he maybe didn't play up to his expectations, it might not be a top three pick. He's got to, for him, for his good, he's got to get out of Dodge while the criticism isn't there yet for his injuries, you know? So that'll be interesting to see for next season, to see whether he's back or not. But I don't think that'll be – I mean, obviously it'll be a huge loss if he's gone, but I don't think that's going to make or break the season next year. I mean, you look at the past, every time MSU's had a star defensive lineman, obviously they haven't had one to this, caliber, maybe. I don't know how to describe it. To this – not as far as performance goes, but to this – we've had no defensive lineman that's supposed to be a top five pick in the draft. And MSU in the past, I remember back in whenever, 2009, 2010, 2011, when Greg Jones left, everybody in Michigan State was like, oh, no, what's going to happen to the defense? And then when Will Golston and Jarrell Worthy left, people were like, oh, no, what's going to happen to the defense? And every time it comes back. And the defense is terrible this year with Malik McDowell. So I don't think – it'll be interesting, but I don't think that will make or break the defense next year.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought the same thing when Calhoun left. What's going to – I was like, well, actually the opposite. I was like, yeah, whatever, we got Demetrius Cooper, and he hasn't looked up that.
Same. I thought after last year, the defense got a lot – because the thing is, the defense was pretty young last year, and they got a lot better as the season progressed. And by the end of the season, I believe they were a legitimate defense. And they came back this year
absolutely.
With a ton of returning starters and have just been so, so bad. I just – that's – for me,
right.
A lot of people are talking about the offensive performance and the offensive coordinator and – all that stuff, but what's going on with the defense? These are a lot of upperclassmen that have started for a few years and gotten consistently better, and the wheels have just come off the bus.
I've not seen a defense tackle with their shoulders and not ramp up this much since the Lions went 0-16. And so, I mean, you know, a lot of Michigan State fans, born in the Mitten fans, like the Detroit Lions, well, you know what, at least they're first in the NFC North. Really quick off topic, Gary Trent, he announces this Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and that will be right after our show on Thursday at 4:30. Ryan McCumber, he's going to be with me, as will former Spartan big and friend of the program, Anthony Iani, as we look forward to what should be an exciting year in basketball as we preview the 2016-17 season. For Jameson Draper, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.